Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, this is Emily.
And this is Bridget.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You. We are excited to dive into today's conversation around something that's not terribly wonderful news, but it is very interesting and very solvable nonetheless. You might have heard the term the mommy tax, or its more modern iteration, the motherhood penalty. And we're going to dive into why it's problematic and what can be done about it.
So what's actually fun is that this is one of those problems that's very solvable. So
right.
You know, you might hear a lot of things in this episode that are really depressing and really messed up and that make you mad, but just know they have very concrete solutions.
Right. And I think the mommy tax is interesting because you might have remembered last month in April, Equal Pay Day rolled around, which is that unfortunate so-called holiday. I'm putting that in air quotes because it's an eye roll type of holiday that is a symbolic date that represents how many days into 2017 the average woman had to work to earn what the average American man took home in his paycheck last year. And this, the mommy tax, really is one of the main contributing factors to why the pay gap between men and women in America is so seemingly intractable, so persistent. And the mommy tax was a term first coined way back in 2001, a la, what, NSYNC days? So I think that the term is a little dated, but I think it's funny because Anne Crittenden wrote her book called The Price of Motherhood, and she coined the term the mommy tax, even though nowadays it tends to be noted more as the motherhood penalty and the fatherhood wage premium. And it really is because this is a financial phenomenon that doesn't just affect women. Right, Bridget?
It doesn't. It impacts dads, too, men, too. There's some interesting research that suggests that it impacts men. Get ready for the shocker. It's actually, when a man has a child, it's actually good for his career, and women are sometimes penalized for it. So it's, you know, it's not something that is sort of just independently focused on women.
Right. And that's really what the motherhood or the mommy tax is. It's this reality in the modern American job market that having a child is not a good career move for women. And the New York Times put it really blatantly when they had this 2014 article with the title, A Child Helps Your Career If You're a Man. And it opens with just putting it all out there saying, one of the worst career moves a woman can make is to have children. Mothers are less likely to be hired for jobs, to be perceived as competent at work, or to be paid as much as their male colleagues with the same qualifications. So just by becoming a mom and someone else, importantly, knowing that you are a mother,
right,
they project all of these assumptions on you that can really negatively impact your career, which is not fair.
It's not fair. And what's so kind of like shocking about this is that one of the studies that we found when we were researching this for the show was they did this really interesting test where they had resumes, and on the resumes, they were both identical resumes, and then
men and women. A man and a woman with the identical
and
resume.
And on the women's resume, they put, you know, like on the board of the PTA,
right,
suggesting that she was a mom, and that for the woman that, you know, people didn't call her back. Like, I think it was like she got callbacks half the time.
Yeah.
And that for men, it helps them. And
right.
So this idea is that, like, for men, you know, you can think of it as the daddy boost. Men are going to be more likely to be perceived as having these, like, positive attributions of being a dad. So being warm or being affable or
caring. Yeah, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, great, he's a dad.
Right.
He must be, like, a good guy. And then for a woman, it's like, oh, she's a mom. She must be flighty and irresponsible. And
uncommitted.
You know, yeah.
Not committed to work. So you're talking about this study by Shelley Carell, who is an she's done a couple of studies that have been really troubling to read. She's a sociology professor at Stanford. And in that experiment, those fake resumes were actually sent really and truly to hundreds of real employers. And they were identical. But what's interesting is not only were fathers more likely to be called back when compared to male resumes without the PTA line. So presumably no fatherhood mention whatsoever. So men get a boost for simply being known as being a father, but mothers were half as likely to be called back when compared to other women.
That's wild.
And in a similar study that she did in the lab, Carell asked participants how much they would pay job applicants if they were employers with these same resumes. Mothers were offered on average $11,000 less than childless women and $13,000 less than fathers. So clearly the pay gap is real, but the pay gap between moms and child-free women is really real, too.
That's outrageous. I mean, honestly, when you think about what they're calling the daddy boost, it really reminds me of this sort of, like, cultural notion that, like, oh, dads, I feel like the bar is kind of low for dads. I feel like dads, like, if you are a father who is taking any kind of active role in your child's life, society is so willing to applaud you for that.
Mm-hmm.
With a woman, it's like, they're so ready to tear her down.
It builds right into these outdated stereotypes about what a woman's role is in the family and what a man's role is.
Totally.
So it doesn't really surprise me that the daddy bonus or the fatherhood premium exists, because people still today think, oh, he's got a family. He needs to support them.
Right.
He's obviously the breadwinner.
And the mom is just like supplementary income. It's like, you know, it's like this idea that, like, if you're a working woman, you're just, like, working to, like, have spending money and that your husband is taking care of your, like, you know, children
or
financially.
Worse, yeah. Or worse, it's like, why aren't you home taking care of your kids?
It's terrible.
You're probably distracted because that's what you're actually doing. So for men, the research shows that having a child is clearly good for your career path. It's good for getting hired, for getting callbacks and interviews. They're more likely to be hired than childless men and be paid more after they have children. It builds into this outdated assumption that men are breadwinners or the sole breadwinners of the family and therefore need to be paid more to support their family. And for me, actually, this came up. We're going to dive into the nuanced research of this in a second. But for me, this actually came up in a real way recently when Brad the Boo was negotiating his new job offer that it required a cross-country move. And we are unmarried and have a dog. Let me just be clear about this. We are unmarried and have a dog. And yet when he was negotiating, and yes, I did coach him through that negotiation because that's one of the perks of having me around. You know, we really prepared for his reasoning and his argument. And one of the pieces of the conversation that he sort of added in on his own was, listen, this isn't just me we're talking about. We're uprooting, you know, my family and we're all moving across the country. And I kind of like laughed a little bit at hearing him play the family card.
So does your dog Teddy like,
oh yeah,
part of the fam?
Part of the fam. Such a part of the fam that, you know, we had to pull him out of doggy daycare and everything.
A new dog school?
I know. He has to make new friends all over again. The trauma. But it worked for him. He got everything he asked for, and it was a substantial moving bonus to cover the costs of all of our relocation. So it was just kind of interesting that if he was a woman, I would have probably advised him against saying that. But he didn't. It worked for him.
Yeah, and I almost feel like if he was a woman, that line of, like, I'm moving my whole family would not cut it. Like, I feel like they almost would be inspired to pay that person less.
Yes, that's clearly what the research points to. And those differences in resumes, in pay offered, in likelihood of being called back or hired, they persist even after controlling for factors, this is straight out of the New York Times article, like the hours people work, the types of jobs they choose, and the salaries of their spouses. So the disparity is not because mothers become less productive employees and fathers work harder when they become parents, but because employers expect them to.
So what's interesting that I found is that mothers actually are great workers, right? You might be thinking like, oh, well, maybe it's just that, like, when women become mothers, they just stop caring about their jobs and they,
No.
That's wrong. No way.
No way.
Incorrect. Yeah, all of the studies are pretty conclusive that moms, you know, becoming a mother does not impact a woman's motivation at work. It does not impact her ambition or her efficiency at all.
If anything, they're more efficient.
Totally. Compared to fathers, mothers are actually more engaged at work and work more intensely. For example, mothers more often than fathers reported that they, quote, got so involved in their work that they forget about everything else, even time, right? And so that's a direct quote of someone who was a participant in the study that, like, working women are not sort of like slacking off and not just sort of like, you know, at work, but really, you know, in their heads thinking about picking up the kid at soccer or making dinner or whatever. They're actually working as hard as, if not harder, than their male counterparts, but yet this perception problem persists.
Right. And I can understand the challenge, right? It's certainly not easy, but I think women are almost overcompensating.
Totally.
Because we know that perception is real.
Yeah.
And the fear around being seen as less committed when you have a child is so warranted. It's so legitimate because this perception problem really does hold women back.
I had a friend when I was working at a big media outlet who was a mom, and she said that whenever she mentioned having to do something related to her kids, like, oh, I can't make that meeting because I have my kid as a thing, she would always just say, I have an appointment, because she noticed that if she ever said, I can't, you know, because of reason with my child, but that when her male counterpart employees in the same position, same whatever, said something like, oh, I have my kid's thing, the reactions were like, oh, what a good dad.
Oh, you're going
to the soccer game. Oh,
exactly.
But for her, it was seen as like a slacking.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting how these stereotypes and these myths kind of play out in our everyday work lives.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
Yeah.
It's such a double standard.
Definitely.
Well, I think what's also problematic here is the pay gap, right? The pay gap is something we hear a lot about between men and women. But when you really look at this data about child-free pay gap or child-free women versus mothers and their pay gap, the difference is so significant. So childless, unmarried women earn 96 cents for every dollar a man earns on average, which is progress, in my opinion, like great progress. And still, there's a room to go, right? I think there's plenty of room to go. But while married mothers earn 76 cents for the dollar that men make, widening that gap to where it seems like it needs to be closed.
Yeah, it needs to be closed. That's so infuriating, because I just think about my mom growing up. Like, my mom is a doctor, and she worked her way through medical school when we were kids, and you know, she worked as a maid and like all of this. Like, she worked so hard, and to have it be like because of us, I guess, she didn't make as much money. Like, that is just infuriating.
And some people might be saying, but wait, don't moms, you know, just tend to work less after they have kids? Don't they pull back? Doesn't that explain it? And the research clearly states that no, some mothers cut back on hours or accept lower paying jobs that are more family friendly. And we know that flexibility is high on the desirables list for both men and women these days, and that for companies to retain talent, that's definitely a big part of how they're doing so, especially amongst millennial men who report wanting work-life balance and work-family balance more so, or just on the same rate as millennial women, which I think we can really solve this problem, really. If our generation makes this a priority, I think we can really make progress here. But with mothers cutting back on hours or accepting lower paying jobs, that only explains about a quarter to a third of the motherhood penalty. So it says here that it's true that fathers sometimes work more after having children, but that explains at most 16% of their bonus. So basically, there are personal choices that feed into the premium that dads get and the penalty that moms get, but it's not sufficient. The majority of the gap, research suggests, is based on good old-fashioned discrimination.
Our old friend.
Just straight up perception. And, you know, we know that the truth is that mothers are efficient at work.
Mothers are efficient. They work just as hard, if not harder, than men. The research is really clear about that. And they're motivated by, you know, wanting to provide for their families. They're just like men are, right? Like, mothers and fathers are equally motivated by their family responsibilities to provide financially for their households. And so it's not like women are pulling back, you know, because that's a choice they're making. They're doing the same thing that men are doing, but still getting paid less for it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that double standard is really what I find to be so sort of mind-boggling, that it is just based on myths and discrimination and sexism.
Right. And this is becoming especially important to figure out. This motherhood penalty is especially unfair now that 4 in 10 American households with kids include a mother who is either the sole or primary earner for her family.
So we really gotta, like, get this
figured out. We gotta get it together on this, America. Get it together. Lock it up. Because the fact is, these outdated assumptions presume that the male is the breadwinner,
right,
and so he should earn more to provide for his family. And it also presumes unfairly that the woman is the primary caregiver, mm-hmm. so she must be distracted at work. And that just ain't true anymore.
It's not true. They're myths.
They're myths. So I think we have a lot more to talk about on this, but first I want to take a moment to hear from our sponsors. And when we are back, we're going to talk about how this affects high-income women versus not-so-high-income women very differently. But first, let's take a break.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Interestingly, B, there is one exception as to where the motherhood penalty stopped showing up altogether. So who of all the women in the world don't get penalized with the motherhood penalty?
I feel like I could guess. Mm-hmm. Is it super rich women?
It is. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. So it's funny. Being a woman holds you back if you're a mom at work, except if you're a super loaded rich mom.
Who would have thought?
Right?
Immense wealth would have such privileges.
Such privileges. Let's just add one more to the pile, shall we? So this is from Ms. Budig's study. Oh, sorry, Ms. Budig. I think I messed your name up. But what she found was that women in the top 10% of earners lost no income when they had children, and those in the top 5% received bonuses. So they have that fatherhood premium effect when you are a super loaded rich mom in the top 5% of income earners. She speculated that these rarefied jobs or these high income employers see their high performing women in a similar way that they traditionally see men, and that women might need more money to provide for their families, aka to provide for their professional caretakers who they need to afford, you know, to afford the time to, right, to be devoted to their jobs in such a big way.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely unsurprising to me, right? Like, and this is something I think I've always sort of been an advocate for, is when we talk about motherhood, when we talk about having a family, the way that economics reflects on that, right? Like, I feel like we talk about being a working mom in this sort of blanket way, and we sort of don't like to acknowledge that, yeah, if you're wealthy, your challenges look different than the challenges of a low-income mother. The things that you're up against look different. It makes me cringe whenever, you know, I think it was like Gwyneth Paltrow or somebody where they were like, oh, so you're a working mom. How do you do it? And I'm like, she probably has lots of help. She probably hasn't like nannies
well,
and cooks.
I just love women who are very clear about that.
Yeah.
Who is, it was,
someone.
No, it was John Legend's wife.
Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, she's so great.
I love her.
Ways.
Get her cookbook.
Yeah.
Shout out to her cookbook.
Shout
it's really
out
good.
To Chrissy Teigen in so many ways. So she was like, you want to know how I bounced back? I have a lot of help. I have a lot of professional help from a physical standpoint, but also, you know, not just on my training, you know, not just my trainer helping me get my body back to model status, but also she has so much help because she can afford it. And this is where I am frustrated by Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo, who was back from giving birth just a few short weeks afterwards. And she had a nursery attached to her office.
Must be nice.
Which sounds great. But and I'm not here to shame her for going back to work so soon, because I just think for anyone to extrapolate anything about Marissa Mayer's motherhood experience that is supposed to be comparable or relatable to the average female worker, like the average mother worker's experience, is absurd.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what makes me cringe, is that we do that. Like, why do we uphold someone like that? Like someone who's a bigwig at Yahoo, who was super, super rich. Why do we talk about her motherhood experience like as if it is supposed to be,
comparable.
As if we're able to glean anything about that from a regular working mom? Like, I don't know why we live in a culture that insists that there's some information to be had there when I feel like, you know, there's just not.
I think it's hard for us to acknowledge that instead of my individuality or my individual contributions to work that I'm being measured on or that I'm being judged on, that I fall into a category, you know, that comes with preconceived notions that might hold me back. I think there's just an American obsession with individuality also that makes it hard for us to say, well, maybe there are macro level prejudices acting upon me.
That's so interesting. I mean, I think you're so right. And that's so interesting.
It's
where
sad.
It's like, I almost wonder if, you know, and I'm not a mom, but like when you become a mom, are you just like in this category of like, you're no longer like a woman, you're no longer like an individual, you're a mom?
I mean, I feel like from what I've heard, again, I'm not a mother either, but your identity shifts, and the way, it's not just external either, the way other people see you shifts, but the way you see yourself shifts. And I'd love to hear from our moms in the audience too. And I think that the solutions to this problem really adhere or apply to all of us in terms of what would make work easier for all women, period.
Right.
And what would level the playing field. We're not talking about giving women an advantage. We're talking about removing a penalty that's not fair.
Right.
And really, speaking of that penalty, If it doesn't affect very rich women, guess who it does affect the absolute
most?
I bet
I can guess.
I bet you would get it right.
Is it low-income women?
It is. So the fact that low-income workers benefit the least or suffer the most economically, says the New York Times, is perhaps not surprising. They are the least likely of all to have flexible schedules or benefits like paid parental leave. Low-wage women with children under six, when offspring need the most in-person care, they paid a wage penalty five times as great as that of higher paid women with young children. And as we've established, higher paid women with young children also pay a pretty significant penalty.
Right.
So multiply that by five, and that's part of the cycle of poverty that's so hard.
And I find that to be so infuriating because, honestly, it's like everybody deserves to, when you have a child, to like have maternal leave or paternal leave. Like everyone deserves that. That's what a child needs to have a good head start in life. Mm. And it makes me so angry that we have policies in this country that do not reflect, you know, that that's an important thing. Like, mm-hmm. we talk about sort of being pro-life, we talk about sort of preserving, you know, giving kids a good head start. And it's like, our policies do the exact opposite.
Well, and we're such an anomaly in terms of the global perspectives
we're
on this.
We're the only developed nation that doesn't have paid parental leave. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Let's dive into the policy solutions to this problem in just a second. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
So, as we've established, the fact that having a child can hurt a woman's career and somehow benefit men's careers and their salaries feels completely unfair to me.
It is unfair.
And grounded in outdated BS stereotypes that no longer apply. So what can we do to solve this problem? The good news is,
it's very solvable.
It's and totally solvable.
It has, I feel like with so many things that are wrong with our country and wrong with our world, it has a policy solution.
Yeah, which is, I'm all about individual solutions. You know what I mean? I'm all about taking the power into your own hands. But this is one of those situations where macro level economics and macro level policy solutions take the burden off you as an individual from having to solve this problem and fight these battles on your
own.
Totally.
Because I don't think it's a woman's responsibility to have to, like, I think that all women should be good negotiators and be boss ladies.
Right.
But I don't think it should fall on your shoulders to feel like you have to negotiate through like institutional sexism.
Right.
Right. Like,
agree.
You can't, I don't feel like you can.
And we can't, we need all people, men and women, to come together to solve these big policy problems, because guess what? They help men and women both eliminate and sort of shake off these outdated, unfair stereotypes that make it harder for a man to be a full-time parent, yeah. and are just as confining sometimes in how, well, I wouldn't say just as confining, but are very confining.
Confining in their own ways.
In their own ways that hold men back from leading full and happy and robust lives personally and professionally. So there are two main policy solutions that researchers have found, especially in the many other countries that actually have these policies in place, that shrink the motherhood penalty. And first and foremost is publicly funded high-quality childcare for babies and toddlers.
And that's so important because, I mean, I have only recently found out how expensive it is to have childcare. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I realized what an insane, I mean, like, in some places, it's you know, it's comparable to paying for college.
Rent. Yeah.
For your kids.
It's like, scary expensive.
And so I just think that, like, you know, we're not able to be a functional society if we don't allow for people to, you know, care for their kids while they work.
Mm.
It just doesn't make
yeah.
sense.
And there were two books, actually, that really opened my eyes to that problem. One is called Overwhelmed. It's by Bridget Schulte, who has spent a good portion of her career at the Washington Post. Overwhelmed, Work, Love, and Play When No One Has the Time. She did an extensive review into the history behind America's relationship with almost, but then not, reforming our policies around childcare. It almost happened, but it didn't. We should do a whole other episode on that, quite frankly. And then the other book was one authored by Anne-Marie Slaughter called Unfinished Business. And really, she talks about how the women's movement have helped women act more like men and enter the fields that men are in and be more, you know, masculine in our leadership and getting paid. But it hasn't asked, you know, the unfinished business of feminism is that the world hasn't adapted to what women actually need in our non-work related lives,
right,
in our personal lives to show up fully. And fortunately, Kristen and Caroline did a great episode on this just last year, The Unfinished Business of Working Class Equality. That's a really good episode to check out.
Completely. And I always have to shout this out that, like, in my book, it's not feminism if it leaves working class women behind.
Oh,
right? Like,
totally.
If your feminism is just like, how can women be more like men and how, like, you know, I don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing. I think we're trying to lift everybody
right.
up.
Yeah, and I think that's why the public policy piece is so critical here. The other, so beyond publicly funded high quality childcare that's universally, you know, affordable and accessible, which would change the game for women achieving our full potential at work, for men and women, from being, you know, sharing in both work and at home responsibilities. But beyond that is also paid parental leave policies, which got a lot of press in this last presidential
yeah.
election. Notably, for the first time, and don't, you know, I don't want to give anybody too much credit here, for the first time, a major Republican party, right, the major Republican party presidential candidates were on board for paid maternal leave, right? Paid maternity
and
leave.
And that is something, right?
That,
like,
is
that's not nothing.
New. That
that's
is new.
Something. Yeah.
And what it means is that they actually acknowledge that women workers are demanding that we catch up to the rest of the developed world.
Yeah.
And that maybe it's not a radical government takeover if we ask to be given time off after the arrival of a new child in our lives, whether you give birth to them or not, right? The arrival of a new child in your family, to get some time off.
And I think it's so reasonable. And it's like, I get so cranky about this because when you think about folks who are on the sort of American exceptionalist bandwagon, it's like, doesn't that, like, shouldn't that really bother them? If people who are like, oh, America is the greatest country ever, shouldn't it bother them that, like, women, you know, I've heard horror stories of women having to go back to work, you know, days after giving birth, you know. There are lawsuits where, you know, they dictate whether or not a pregnant worker can stand or not. And it's like having to make those choices. It's I think it's obscene.
It is obscene. It's not very humane if we really think about it. But beyond that, it's not good business. So there's an argument from the business community. And I own a small business. I get it. It's expensive, right? It's costly. But you know what else is expensive and costly is turnover, is like not actually caring about your talent.
Right.
And I think there is a lot of argument. There are many arguments to be made that for our economy to function sustainably, that this is not too much to ask. That other countries have clearly made it work.
Right.
And The problem is, here's the problem with just maternity leave, though. What does that set up for the rest of that child's life or the rest of that parental structure? It assumes that mom needs time off because mom is the primary caregiver.
Right. And again, it's just like what we were talking about earlier. It's baking these kind of outdated, old-fashioned notions about gender into, you know, the domestic
sphere.
Yeah.
It is troubling, too, because there's a kind of sexism here that's baked into that assumption, this benevolent sexism, which sometimes takes this awful, nice sounding form of, well, we want to be kind to women.
Right.
We want to protect women. And so we're going to care for women, but not treat them like peers, not respect their intellectual prowess or their ability to show up fully in the workplace. We're going to give them this gift because women are weak and need our protection.
And it shouldn't, like, that's exactly right. And it's like, we shouldn't be thinking about paternity leave as a gift, right? But I think the way that we talk about it is it's like this like special thing that we're asking
exceptionalism
for.
Yeah.
And I think it's, we're thinking about it all wrong. So even when we get it right, we still kind of get it wrong.
Yeah, which is sad. Well, I feel like half the dialogue politically has been about maternity leave. Mm-hmm. The other half has been about parental leave. And in countries that that have parental leave policies, like Sweden, which actually has really progressive policies, including incentives for new fathers to take that leave, they end up having a smaller pay gap between the motherhood penalty shrinks even further. And it actually encourages the changing role of fathers in society of being more active, and they are rewarded for that.
Right. I think that's that tidbit of it is so impactful because what good is this policy if, like, men feel kind of shamed out of taking it?
And they do.
And, like, if you incentivize it and say, like, no, actually, we think you're going to be a better employee.
Right.
It's just good business. And so I do think that thinking about it from the business community, that perspective of, like, we want to encourage our employees to be happy, healthy, functional, full people when they come to work, that our, you know, bottom line is going to improve when that's the case. If you can really incentivize some of these common sense legislations and common sense policies.
Sound like you're on the stump. This is a common sense policy.
Vote for Bridget.
I love it. I hope I would totally vote for Bridget. Yeah, I mean, it is troubling because, I'm glad we're bringing attention to this nuanced component to what I think gets a lot of ink, which is the pay gap. We hear over and over again that women make, you know, what is it, 70 something cents on every dollar. And then people start to get all mansplainy on it and start to, like, say, well, not really. And there's truth to the fact that it's very complex and nuanced, but when you still control for all the personal choices that go into it, moms especially, but women overall, are still paid less than men for the same work. And that needs to change, but this is a good place to start. Let's start with parental policies. Let's start with policies that benefit both men and women, that level the playing field and start to eliminate, and have clearly eliminated in other countries, the motherhood penalty that women incur at work when having kids.
And so I think in tackling a lot of these problems, it makes so much sense to just start with things that have already been demonstrated to be effective with other countries.
Absolutely. And I think big policy or big level, high level policy reform is a really important prerequisite to solving this problem.
Completely.
We can't solve this problem alone. However, there are some practical takeaways for individuals in the job search process or in that negotiation process that can also, we can draw some conclusions from this data too that I think are really, really important to touch upon.
So as a negotiation coach, what would you suggest that women do who are moms?
So first, it gives me no great pleasure to give this advice because women shouldn't have to adapt to our imperfect world full of injustice, and women shouldn't have to hide themselves and their human lives, right, from employers. However, according to this research, there's a very clear case to be made for not discussing or disclosing your parental status while in the interview and negotiation process. In fact, it is illegal for people to ask you, for your employers to ask you about parental status.
I didn't know that.
In the interview or in the negotiation process. Yeah. There's actually a lot of questions that are not allowed for employers, that employers aren't allowed to ask you because of discriminatory likelihood, right? Because of discriminatory conclusions that can be drawn from that information. However, if you volunteer the topic, they can ask follow-up questions. So don't, you know, there is a case to be made. Don't put the PTA mention on your resume. And it brings me no great pleasure to say this, because for moms who've taken time off, too, you're kind of damned if you do, yeah. damned if you don't there, because you want to show some track record, even when you're not working for pay, right? But there is a clear case to be made to not mention motherhood status.
And that does, I mean, it's concrete, you know.
It's bad advice, though. It doesn't feel kind of shady.
Icky,
yeah. It does feel icky.
But it's true, and like, you know, I in my ideal world, both men and women employees are able to show up to their workplace right. as their full selves, mm-hmm. as moms, mm-hmm. as daughters, as caregivers, whoever they are. But that's not
right.
We don't live in that world.
We don't yet. We will. We can. We can change things. We should advocate and demand the policies that we mentioned from our legislators, from our elected officials. We should put pressure on the Trump administration. Clearly is talking about maternity leave, but that's not good enough. In fact, that perpetuates really negative stereotypes that can worsen the situation for women. So we have to make the case for parental leave policies that apply to both men and women. And really, that takeaway for individual women, there's a flip side for men. There is an argument to tell the men in your lives, and for our male listeners, all of them, for the male listeners here, that there might be a case to mention your family, as Brad the Boo did.
I mean,
there might be a case to be made for actually not hiding the PTA status on your resume at all, because you can actually experience a pay premium from
and,
that.
And I'm all, I mean, get that money, people, right?
Like,
I'm
work
all
that
for,
privilege.
I'm
you got
all
it.
For making this unjust system that we all live under, making it work for you, right? Like,
right.
there's no shame in it. Do
right.
it. Get your money.
Hashtag get your money.
Hashtag get your money.
I love it. I love it. So not that. Yeah, I think there are conclusions we can apply in our own lives. And I hope that we can change that advice really soon for women, that we can also make sure that we understand the women with whom we work, who are moms, are statistically likely to be as, if not more efficient than you. And that we should treat those people we work with who have kids with respect too.
Treat moms with respect.
Although, you know what we should do an episode on is something I hear a lot from single women or childless workers, that, yo, just because I don't have a kid to go home to.
Oh my God.
Doesn't mean I can work 24/7.
Story of my life. We got to save it for another podcast. Story of my life.
It's such a big deal. And I hear that from
Huge
so many women.
Deal.
And
just because I don't have kids doesn't mean I don't have stuff to do in my day.
Or like
just,
my yoga class is also important. I'm sorry.
I got Netflix to watch.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I do. But
also dinner matters. Dinner with friends matters. And
like, yeah, just I'm
like, my time is valuable.
Yeah.
Too,
like
but
I'm a
that's
full
a different
person,
topic. Yeah.
Whether I have kids or not.
Right.
You get it.
Right. So for now, I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you, the listener. We want to hear from the moms of Stuff Mom Never Told You. Has this experience been true for you? Have you felt ever like your parental status has held you back, has led you to being left out or judged or less compensated in ways that are totally not fair? And men, have you felt the effects of the fatherhood premium? Have you gotten a bump in your paycheck when you had children? Or if not, what has the experience been like for you and to our single listeners too?
Yeah, single ladies and also men.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you too, right? Like, what are your perceptions of the moms and dads in your workplace? How do you think this is all playing out?
Mm. So make sure to tweet us at MomStuffPodcast. Snap us a pic on Instagram at StuffMomNeverToldYou. And as always, we love when you fill up our inbox with lots of goodies. So send us a message at momstuff@howstuffworks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect. This episode is brought to you by Pedigree.
If you've been looking for love at first sight, it is closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide.
Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.